you for today. We thank you. Hallelujah. What a Savior. We celebrate Jesus. Lord, we thank you for these who are our guests here today. We pray that you would bless them. May they know that we are here and that we follow Jesus. And we seek to love Jesus and tell others about him. Bless them for being here with us. Every family that's represented, we thank you for these new ones who have stepped forward and confessed their commitment to be lifelong disciples of Jesus. Hallelujah, what a Savior. We follow you now, Lord. Some of us have followed you for a long time. Others have started today. And we pray that you might help us as a church to be the kind of people that people see Jesus in us, a real difference in our lives. So hallelujah, praise Jesus today. We thank you for the chance to be in this place. What a sweet spirit. What a blessing we've already had together. So Lord, bless our time now as we look at your word, as we seek to hear what you have to say to us about real love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good morning. Good to see all of you. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us, we're honored to have you. We've been looking in our Bibles at 1 Corinthians 13. So if you're here with us and you have a Bible, if you don't, it'll be on the screens in just a moment. We're going to look there. So everybody take your Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. And today we're just going to be looking at one verse together. We've been talking for some time about real love. You know, there are lots of people who describe what love is. Well, love, real love, is what happens in our marriages. Real love is what happens in our families. Real love is what happens in our friendships and our relationships. Real love is what happens here in church. All of our relationships are connected in one way or another to loving other people. Jesus said, people will know that you are my disciples if you know a lot about my word. No, he didn't say that. He said, if you love one another. So we're to be known as people who love each other. It's to be a distinctive, unique mark as to who we are. So in 1 Corinthians, Paul's talking to this church about a more excellent way. Now look, anything that's excellent in life deserves to be talked about. So over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the more excellent way to live. Here it is. Are you ready? The more excellent way to live. As much as it's important to know God's word, as much as it's important for us to have the ability to serve God with our gifts and sing and praise and preach and teach, the most excellent way, the more excellent way, is all of us who know Jesus to love other people. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, would you stand please with me and honor the reading of God's word? And let's read down through verse number 7. So here's what Paul says about this more excellent way to live. He says, if I speak with the languages of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Now here's where we're focusing these days. So what does real love look like? Here's what Paul says. Love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly, and it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Now here's our focus for today, four phrases in verse 7. So what does love do? Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. So now, Lord, as we stand before you, we thank you for the Word of God, the Bible. We thank you that we have a Bible we can read in our language, understand its words, so that we might learn to follow Jesus. All of us who are here who are followers of Jesus, Lord, we've made a commitment as a church that we will follow Jesus and love other people like Jesus. So help us, Lord, today to learn from what the Bible has to say to us. May we learn what it means for us to follow the more excellent way, the way of love, with one another in all of our relationships, in our marriages, in our families, in our friendships. Help us to follow and act in the most excellent way as followers of Jesus. And we pray for our friends who are here who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And we thank you, Lord, that they are here. We pray that you would bless them. We pray that you would speak to them and help them to know the greatest love of all. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus so that we might have life and believe on him and be saved and changed and forgiven and put on a new direction of life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So real love loves people all the time, okay? So today, here's what we want to talk about just for a few minutes before we go. Love has a person in mind. Love is not love for chocolate cake, even though you may like chocolate cake. Love is not loving your four-wheeler. Love is not your car. It's about a person. And when you have a love relationship with a person, that's a relational thing. So we have to work on our relationships, church. We have to work on our relationships in our marriages. We have to work on our relationships here with each other, with our friends. We have to work on relationships at work. We have to work on relationships. So today, the focus of verse 7, you'll notice there's a word used four times in verse 7. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love is for all times. Listen, love is for all things. Look, everything that happens in your relationships with others isn't going to be good. Relationships get turned, sideways. You know, relationships get off track. Relationships are broken. Relationships aren't what they ought to be. And so all of us in this, there's one thing in common with everybody in this room. We have all been disappointed in relationships. So what's a fella to do? Give up? Be mad? Be angry? Be unforgiving? What's a fella to do? What's a girl to do? What are we to do when we've had these problems come? And it won't be the last time. When these things happen, did you see this? Notice, bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Now, those of you who haven't been with us, guess I've been talking about the taters around here recently. The taters. You know, aggravators, irritators, agitators, instigators, and just plain out haters, the taters. You know the tater family, right? Everybody here has experienced the tater family. And last week what we talked about is this: when the taters come in my life, how do I respond? Here's the answer. Love comes out. When you poke me, when you jab me, when you cuss me, when you mistreat me, what comes out of me as a Christian? Love comes out. And that's the love we've been looking at. Love that loves all the time. So you could read verses 4 through 6 like this. Love is patient all the time. Love is kind all the time in your marriage. Love is never jealous anytime. Love does not brag anytime. Love is not arrogant anytime. Does not act unbecoming anytime. Does not seek its own anytime. Is not provoked anytime. Does not take into account a wrong suffered anytime. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness anytime. Never happy when unrighteous things go on in a relationship. But rejoices with the truth, and here it is. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Listen, church. We have to understand today that what we're talking about is how to maintain and keep our relationships. Look, some of our relationships have come to a certain point and they've stopped. Something's happened and the relationship's just stopped. It happens in marriages. Happens in friendships. Happens in families. Happens in church. Happens everywhere. In all of our relationships. So what Paul is trying to help us understand is we have a relationship not with things like cars and cakes and houses. We have a relationship with other human beings. And the way we treat them as followers of Jesus is to let the love come out. Let the love come out. So, four things, quickly. First of all, notice this. Real love protects others all the time. Protects others all the time. So this word in your Bible, verse 7, in the New American Standard translation I'm reading from, it reads, bears all things. Your Bible may say covers. It's a word, it's a Greek word that means to cover. It's like a roof. The roof covers this building so that we aren't affected by, we're protected from the outdoor elements. It's a protection over us. Oh, this is very important. Love protects the relationship. The relationship's more important than the things that happen in the relationship. Are you listening to me? The things that happen in a relationship can go up, they can be good, they can be bad. But love protects the relationship. That's the most important thing. That's why Jesus said, the people in the world will know about Christians. What will they know? That we know a lot about the Bible? That we gather together and do the things we do. No, they'll know you when you love each other, when you protect your relationship in love. It doesn't mean that everything that happens in our relationships, family, friends, church, or wherever, all the relationships we have are always good things. But today, we start by recognizing the importance of protecting our relationships. So when you think about it, Love doesn't run other people down. It protects the relationship. Love doesn't tell somebody else the problems or weaknesses of somebody else. It protects the relationship. Well, let me tell you about so-and-so. You want to really know something? I got something better. No. Love doesn't drive the other person down, belittling the other person. Love protects the relationship. The relationship may not be its best right now, but love protects it. Love defends others as far as we can go truthfully to defend them. Doesn't make up falsehoods, but protects the relationship. This is another human being for whom Christ died. Whatever condition they're in, whatever they've done to me or to you, in our brokenness, we've treated others the same way. What do we need from other people? We need their love. We need them to protect the relationship. Even if for a while it's not as good as it should be. You see, we let our feelings get ahead of our obligation. You see, we have, those of us who are born again, we have the ability to supernaturally love people, and that's what it takes, by the way, to do this. Because now you have inside of you the Holy Spirit of God. So the Lord expects of us that we will love one another. So love protects. Oh my, what a wonderful, wonderful thing. The protection of love in marriage. A husband for a wife for a husband. The protect, that means in all things, husbands and wives. The protection of love in a family, good or bad, whatever's happening between the parents and the children with one another, all of that protection. Protection. Protection in all of our friendships and our relationships. Well, Paul said it this way, back in, and I don't have time to elaborate, but back in 1 Corinthians 8, this church had an issue. And it was a proper issue for the time. You see, many of these people in this church came out of a pagan background where they worshiped idols. And the idols were offered meat offerings. So they would be offered these meat offerings, and they would take these meats that were offered, and they would take them to the market, and they would be sold. Some of the Christians had a real problem with that. They could not deal, they were non-meat eaters. We're not talking about vegetarianism here. We're talking about, you know, they were not going to eat the meat offered to idols. Others said, look, everything's good. Everything's from God. We're good with the meat the way it is. But there was an issue between them about non-meat eaters and meat eaters. And in order, listen, in order not to allow the meat to become the issue, that's the thing, Paul says in a very clear way, he illustrates what it means to protect love. Verse 8:13. Therefore, if food, listen to this profound statement. This is Paul writing this. If food causes my brother or sister to stumble, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. That is the protecting power of love. I will give up whatever my rights or my opinions are, listen, in whatever the thing is, because the relationship is more important than the thing. That's really big for us. Second, real love sees the best in others all the time. Oh, you can't be picky about this. Love loves all the time. Did you hear me? Love loves all the time. Real love loves all the time. We've got the word here, all. It believes all things. Oh, this is one that's hard for some of us. Most of us. Some of the translations read it like this. Love trusts all things. Oh, how many times have I said and heard other people say, you can never trust that person. I've said it. I don't think I'm the only one in here. We have broken trust. So something has happened in our marriage or in our relationship. Something has happened in all the things that go on. Some are good, some are bad in a relationship. But it doesn't take long. And then people, you know, of course, people who are really not being your friend will say, yeah, that's right. They deserve that. That's exactly right. They're getting what they deserve. Gig them. Get them. Jump on them. Give it back to them. No, you don't need friends like that. You need a friend who says, you know, remember now, God has seen the best in you when you were not your best. God has seen the best in you when you were not your best. So how are you going to do with somebody else when they're not their best? You're going to be like Jesus. You're going to treat them in such a way that you want. Listen, they don't have to receive it. They don't have to experience it in the relationship. But you, as best you can, you love that person and you see the best in them. You look past them. Paul said it to the Philippian church. I put it here, Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you, who are followers of Jesus, will complete it. That's quite a statement. Because God wants the best for you. God's trying to bring the best out of you and me. So we have to learn love trusts. No matter what the things are in the relationship. No matter what they may have done to us, no matter what they may do to us, love believes someone is innocent until proven guilty. And still loves. Love believes in someone and does not blame them, even if they deserve to be blamed. Love sees the best in others. Let me tell you, people become what we believe them to be. Did you know that? Your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your family, siblings, your spouse, our relationships here. We have to understand that people become what we believe them to be. We have to desire the best for one another. That doesn't mean the person will receive it. See, we're talking about what we do, not what they do back to us. What's a person to do when someone doesn't treat me right? Let the love come out. Let the love come out. Not the vengefulness, not the hate, not the yell, let's get even, let's gig them. It's time for them to, they deserve it. No, it's looking, it's seeing the best in other people who truly sometimes have taken big advantage of us and deeply hurt us. Third, real love holds out for others. Notice verse 7. Bears all things, believes all things. Now, hopes all things. Hope. What is hope? Well, in the Bible, we learn that hope is about confidence. Hope is about confidence. Hope is about an expectation that God is going to come through. We put our hope in Jesus Christ. We put our hope that He will save us from our sin. One day we will experience heaven because we've trusted in Him, and we have confident hope that Jesus is coming again. So we have hope, but real love holds out for somebody else, not when they're their best. Look, in all the things that go on in a relationship, some days it's mucho gusto. You know, if you speak a little Spanish, mucho gusto. But some days, you know, it's, I don't have any Spanish, it's pitiful. La pitiful, how's that? It's up or down. It's right or left. It's sideways. It's just going. Life is like that. It just doesn't go on a clear path. You know, people are just frustrating, aren't they? They're just not as good as we are, right? So because they're not, we get into these things in our relationship. We get into these things. Real love holds out hope for other people. It's confident that no matter what the circumstance of a person's life right now, listen, this is love. We are confident that their future will be better than it is now. Aren't you glad God believed that you could be better now than you were before you were saved? Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad that the Lord looked at you and saw that you could be forgiven, whatever's happened in your life, changed, and become a new person? Aren't you glad of that, folks? Listen, that's what love is. Love is holding out the best, seeing the best in another person, covering and protecting the relationship long enough for the other person to grow. For them to grow. Love hopefully expects that others will grow. Love hopefully expects someone to succeed and not fail. Love hopes for change. Love hopes for a new start. Love hopes for growth. Love is not unhopeful. Wash your hands of it. They're not worth your time. Oh, my soul. How many times has that been said by someone who is a supposed friend? Move on. They're not worth your time. Everybody is worth our time. Everybody. Everybody. But you see, when I start with me first, I won't get to love. Love isn't about your emotions, church. Love is about action. Love is patient, kind, not jealous, doesn't brag, not arrogant, not unbecoming, doesn't seek its own, is not easily provoked, does not take into account wrong suffered, does not rejoice. Now we start to get to the mind. Doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. Covers all things in the relationship so that people can, in all things, good and bad. This is kind of like that verse many of us love to quote. Romans 8:28. All things work together. Have you ever heard that verse? For good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And how many times has this preacher or another said to you, not all things are good? Ah, now take it to verse 7. Bear all things, good and bad, up or down, right or left. Bear all things. Believe the best in someone all the time, up or down, good or bad, right or left. Hope all things, up or down, all the time. And then finally, real love sticks it out. Doesn't just hold out, but sticks it out. Now this word, if we were reading, the word endure here is a military word that was used in the Greek times. When the soldiers would advance on territory, they would hold the ground. And this word endurance, it's hard to take all of our English words and exactly match all of these words. The idea is holding the ground. So listen, friend, you have a relationship that's gone thus far in your marriage. You've covered certain ground, but now you seem to be, because of all the things going on in your marriage, you're afraid you're going to lose ground. Don't lose ground. Whoa, stop right there. Protect your relationship in your marriage. Well, you, Pastor Mike, if you knew how he treated me, it's all things. Well, Pastor Mike, if you knew what she was doing to me, well, it's all things. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. You know what I've discovered? The longer you're in relationships with people, the more chance they are going to disappoint you. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? You know, when I came here to be the pastor, I told you, I said, look, you know, I'm glad to be here. I'm honored to be here. I'm going to disappoint you all. And people come, oh, Pastor Mike, I just get in line. I've already done it with some. It's going to happen to others. Because the longer you're in relationship, you go so far and then something happens, good or bad, from either person, all things, what do you do? What's a fella to do with a preacher that's disappointed him? I guess you got to love him. Isn't that pitiful? Just, what's a woman to do with these husbands? I guess you got to love them. I guess you got to love them. What are we going to do? Fight about it? Do some more what the world does? What's a family to do when half of them are over here and half of them are over here? You know, I shared with you my dirty laundry from my family's past last week. My father and my uncle breaking their relationship because my uncle borrowed my dad's tools, including post hole diggers, and we didn't see him for 3 years. I'm not making it up. I'm an old man. I still remember what happened when I was an 11-year-old boy. Why? Well, let's just go get him another set of post hole diggers so we can be their cousins. All things. It's happened in this room to everybody here. Pastor Mike, you just don't know. You just don't know how bad and how hard it's been. Yeah, it's all things. And all the things that come in your life and mine aren't fair. And all the things that happen and crash in on us are a riddle and a mystery. But you know what I've discovered? Now, I know what time it is. It's 11:32. I just got up here, so let me finish, all right? Just stay with me. You're not going to beat them down to the front porch and down to the Mexican today. You're going to be at the standing line. So just wait. Listen. You know what I've discovered in my life? Every relationship I have, God wants me to have it. And I'm thinking, I don't want to have a relationship with that one and that one and that one. Do I have to have? Yes, you have to have them, Mike. You need the taters in your life. Because the taters bring love out of you. Or hate, bitterness, unforgiveness, cynicism. What the world is like. That's the way we used to be before we knew Jesus. So we've come kind of full circle here. If we were drawing all these characteristics in 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse number 4 through 7, it'd be like a big circle of description. Love is patient, love is kind, not jealous, doesn't brag, not arrogant, not unbecoming, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, rejoices in the truth, bears all things, protects them, believes all things, believes the best in other people, all things, hopes, holds out, and finally sticks it out. Sounds kind of like where we started. Love is patient, and love endures. Love holds out in the most difficult situations. Love hopefully waits for the other person. So when I was a young pastor, Pat and I moved to California to do our ministry there and start a church, and we were there, and we just had a very small group of people, maybe 100 people or so there. And when I first arrived, I was told that there was a problem in the church. Okay. And we had 4 deacons, and you know, it was small. It was, you know, 100 people. You pretty much know everybody's business, whether you want to or not. So the word comes to me that Jack, one of the deacons, has committed adultery, left his wife Betty after 20 years, and what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Betty illustrates, she is one of the, I've been privileged to see and know many people in my life who've lived out these four principles, but Betty lived them out. Betty said, after he left, she was broken, she was hurt. You know, it was the all things. She was devastated. They'd been married 20 years. They had teenage kids. Of course, everybody knows their business. It's all over the church. And Betty says, I believe God will bring Jack back. Did you know some of our people actually laughed at her when she said that? And others of them said this, look, Jesus has given you a get out of marriage card. Why, he doesn't deserve it. Kick him, knock him down. He deserves, just grind him up, Betty. And we're with you. We'll all grind him up. In Jesus' name, we'll grind him up. If he comes in here, we're going to take him out. We'll sick the other three deacons on him, and boy, it'll be all done. It was a hard time for the church. It was a hard time for Betty, who's trying to do this. She's trying to protect her marriage. There were a few who said, Betty, we're going to pray with you. They didn't say, we think you're crazy. Or, Jack wasn't any good for you anyway. I know a guy that's going to be a lot better for you. Oh, please, don't even go down. Don't even start all of that. Betty said, Jack's going to come back. And she believed, she hoped, she endured for 10 years. And guess what? Jack came back. They called me. I was at another place. We renewed their vows. 2 years ago, Pat and I sat out there in their home in California, and there's Jack. There he is. Because somebody loved Jack. Now, that's one story. You say, Pastor Mike, I know a lot of stories that didn't end that way. Even if someone doesn't maintain their marriage, what's a person to do? Love. That's what you do. What are we going to do about this, Pastor Mike? We're going to love people. Because loved people love people. Loved people love agitators, aggravators, irritators, haters. They love them. They love people in all the things that come. This is real Christianity. This is what it means to go deep with God. To love people who don't love you back. Real love. Real love loves all the time. Amen. May God help us learn and live by the power of the Holy Spirit. Like Betty. She prayed. Every day wasn't her best day. Some days she wanted to give up, but a few loved her in all things and said, we're sticking with you. She believed God, and God brought old rascal Jack back. And he's a better man for it now. Because he found out from his wife what real love looks like. All right? Thank you for listening. Let's bow our heads.